Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Thank you for braving this frigid day. I think one of the most challenging things about living in our contemporary culture is the amount of information and opinions that come into our lives. One of my dear friends is pregnant and due in April, and thinking back on the difference between her experience and the experience of women even 50 years ago is remarkable. Not only does she have all of her friends who have had children, or her mother, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, who are sharing their birth stories and their advice about her pregnancy and pending birth, but she also has social media, she has the internet, so any symptom that she has that she Googles, there are 92 other opinions about what it might mean, what you should do about it. Anything that she posts to Facebook, everybody has a thought and feels free to weigh in on her pregnancy. And it becomes completely overwhelming. This, I think, applies to almost any period in our life when we are facing some kind of uncertainty or transition and are trying to understand different ways that we could move forward. So if you or a loved one is facing any kind of a health crisis or something that you're wondering about, not only do you have our medical system and the incredible resources and opinions available there, you also have your friends and family who are throwing their two cents in, and then, heaven forbid, you Google it. You not only have a million different explanations of what the illness might be, but then any potential drug that you or your loved one could receive, there are 10,000 side effects that are way worse than whatever the condition is that you might actually need some help for. And fold all of that information overload into heart overload, because you're worried and uncertain and anxious to begin with. I think it is just paralyzing sometimes to move into those times of uncertainty and anxiety in our lives. Because the reality is almost none of that advice and almost none of those opinions are positive, right? If you say to somebody, you know, I'm thinking of retiring, I'm you know, feeling like it might be time for me to move into the next phase of my life. Well, everybody has 1,000 ideas about whether or not that's the right thing financially or practically or emotionally, spiritually. You know, some of your friends will say, oh, that's the best idea ever. You'll have more time for your hobbies, to play golf, to travel, whatever it is. And others say, you're crazy. You're only 67 years old. You could live for another 30 years. You're going to run out of money in a year. I mean, it's just this constant push and pull, push and pull. So the readings that we have before us this morning are a beautiful antidote to that information overload and what can be a very cynical, negative approach to uncertainty and a desire to move into that time. This reading from the prophet Nehemiah, we only get because we're doing the story lectionary, where as a congregation we're reading through the Bible in this format called the story. So we're getting stories that we don't normally get in our lectionary. And with this one, the prophet Nehemiah is in exile with the Hebrew people, and they're beginning to feel called back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is sort of the advance guard who is going to go back and to see what is the state of the city, particularly in today's reading, the state of the wall. Well, the Hebrew people are in exile, so you would expect that the king would have said to Nehemiah, are you kidding? What a terrible idea. You're in exile. You're my subject now. Stay here. Plus, it's super dangerous on the way to Jerusalem. Can you believe the violence in the Holy Land? Why would you ever go there? This is absolutely mania. Why do this? But that's not what the king says. The king says, wonderful. Here are some letters to smooth your way through the territories that you'll have to travel through. How long will you be gone? When will you return? Such a simple blessing on the journey. And we see all those negative responses, you know, the Ammonite officials. What are you, crazy? Are you rebelling against the king? What a stupid idea to go and try to rebuild the wall. That's insane. But the people who hear his call and who join in with Nehemiah, it says they commit to the common good. And in God, they will find nothing but success. What an extraordinary difference from the kind of information overload, negativity overload, cynicism overload that so many of us can experience when we're facing a change in our lives. Jesus takes this teaching to an even deeper level. We have Jesus following his baptism today, being led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. The way that the lectionary breaks up the readings actually, I think, very inappropriately separates the most critical part of his journey into the wilderness. When Jesus is led into the wilderness, which is a very arid and dry, scary, uncertain, unknown kind of place, he goes with the words of his Father on his ears. Immediately prior to today's reading, God says to Jesus, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus goes into that time of uncertainty with those worries or whatever it was that he was experiencing, that sense of restlessness, that hunger for something different, that desire for something to shift. He goes into the wilderness with the words, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased," in his heart. One of the extraordinary gifts that we can give each other in Christian communities is an alternative response to uncertainty and worry and anxiety. If we have the courage to go to each other and say, "My heart is broken in grief, and I don't know what is coming next." As fellow Christians, our response can simply be, "I don't know what's coming next either. You are God's beloved. With you, God is well pleased." And then moving into that uncertain wilderness time has a totally different feel about it than what our culture would want to fill your mind with. When you think about some area in your life that feels uncertain, feels like a wilderness, feels like a crazy dream or project, that the rest of the world wants to tear down, to criticize, to fill you with doubt. If you bring that thing in your mind and in your heart, and then say to yourself, "I am God's beloved. With God, I am well pleased." Even if you don't believe it, even if it feels a little bit silly to you to say that, I promise you, it will shift the way that you experience whatever that uncertainty is. And then if there are people in your life who make you feel beloved, who cherish you, and who love you, if you can trust them with that and maybe even prompt them and say, "I don't want you to fix this. I don't want any advice. I don't need any opinions. I just need you to love me in this uncertainty." To allow yourself to receive that message of hope and love is truly life-changing. At some points in our lives, we don't have people who we feel trustworthy, who are trustworthy and able to bear that message of love to us, for whatever reason. So when you sit and you watch these brave birds come to your feeder in the morning, imagine that they're saying to you, "You are beloved. God is well pleased with you." Or the sunset. or a beautiful bar of music. There are so many moments of peace and contentment that God is constantly pouring into our lives. If you translate those in just a tiny way, to hear the birds sing, to hear the music, to see something gorgeous, and to imagine God saying to you, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." That is the Valentine that we all need to hear. This is such a painful day for so many people, for so many reasons. You are God's beloved. With you, God is so well pleased. Carry that into the wilderness. Amen.